Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Big news. I mean, we're here for the Super Bowl, but it was huge news in the NBA today. Can you call it a blockbuster when these guys are really just potential? Maybe, but
just
it was
so
a
many
huge
players
trade.
Moved and there were big names
right,
involved.
A
so.
Huge trade. So here it goes. If you haven't already heard it, the New York Knicks,
Knickerbockers.
The moribund New York Knicks, sent Kristaps Porzingis, Tim Hardaway Jr., Courtney Lee,
man,
and Trey Burke to the Dallas Mavericks for Dennis Smith Jr., two future first-round draft picks, Wesley Matthews, and DeAndre Jordan. Now, obviously the big names in that trade, the two most significant players in that trade are Kristaps Porzingis going to Dallas and Dennis Smith Jr. going to New York. Rob, a lot of people are killing the Knicks on this. I'm going to hold my opinion till I hear yours, but what do you think about it?
I'm good with it from this standpoint. I've always said that. If a player doesn't want to play for you, I'm moving them. I don't want anybody on my team who doesn't want to be there. So obviously, and this goes back to Porzingis when even Phil Jackson was in charge right. of the organization and he skipped out on an exit interview after the season, which is a disrespectful and you're part of an organization. So there's obviously was something going on there. And then it wasn't fixed even though there's a new regime in place, right? So
right.
there's something
still,
there.
I was talking to some people or a person in that organization today, the Knicks, and he said, whatever Phil did to him, something happened.
It didn't get
where
fixed.
He is soured on the Knicks organization, and that didn't change with the new regime, Scott Perry, the GM, and all that.
And number two, they haven't won Jack since 1973. And if they could clear space, and there's some free agents available, Chris, by making this move, what is the number I saw? $74.6
right.
million dollars. Will be
two
open,
max deals.
Which
that's
is
all
two,
people ma- need
right.
to know. Two max contracts.
Deals.
Right.
So if they do that, and with the way that they're playing, they could wind up with the top pick as well.
Can you imagine that?
So they could potentially, now it might not all work out, but they could get Zion Williamson, right? And add two max players, right?
This
would make the
right
Knicks
the
right there. So for people who are killing an also-ran team that hasn't won a championship since Moby Dick was a guppy, I don't know how you could look at this and be like thinking that it's not a good day if you're a New York Knicks fan.
Well, a lot of people are looking at it that way, and they're looking at it from a short-sighted mindset. No question about it. Because you're right. When you just look at it on the surface and you see what went to Dallas and what went to New York, you're
equal.
Thinking the Knicks are out of their minds.
They got fleeced.
Right. But when you really look, you don't even have to dig that deep. But when you understand what's going on, I think, Rob Parker, this was a fantastic trade for both teams. Now, you didn't address Dallas. Let me address them.
And they also had a player who was disgruntled, who yep. wasn't happy there, right, in Dennis Smith Jr.
Yep. Let me address it from a Dallas perspective. Outstanding move. Outstanding. Luka Doncic, I'm saying it, I've said it before, is a Larry Bird-type player.
And not just because of his skin color.
Well, that's partially. I ain't going to lie. If he was black, I wouldn't be comparing
would
him to Larry
that.
Bird. I wouldn't. I'd probably compare him to Magic
All
or somebody.
Right, I got you.
Or LeBron. I'd say he's like LeBron. But no, but he is a lot like Larry Bird. He can ball. He is a guy that can lead this team to title contention, if not championships in the future. Now you pair him with Kristaps Porzingis? Porzingis, if he stays healthy, which has been a problem, he's obviously sitting out this year, or at least most of it. Porzingis can ball. He can catch and shoot. And he and Luka have a relationship from both being overseas from Europe. This is a nice move. And don't poo-poo Tim Hardaway Jr. as a throw-in.
No.
Tim Hardaway Jr.
He's been balling
shoot.
This year.
And Luka Doncic And Porzingis are going to draw so much attention that Hardaway Jr. is going to get open looks all night long.
And if he makes it, if he makes them, he could be a star.
Now, he's a good player.
Right.
So Dallas definitely made out in this. But so did the Knicks, because you hit it on the head. $74, $75 million worth of cap space. I'm going to throw out names.
Let me hear.
This is what I think the Knicks are looking at. Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant.
It's possible. It's doable.
It's doable and it's possible, because we have all heard there are guys in the league before this trade went down, before the Knicks had room to get another superstar, who thought Kevin Durant was going to New York. His agent is in New York, wants to push him to New York. And Kyrie Irving is from West Orange, New Jersey,
which is a suburb of New York.
Yes, exactly. I lived there. I know his family. And Kyrie grew up a Nets fan, but there's no reason to go to Brooklyn. They are a nice little team, but they got two guards. They're not better as good as Kyrie.
They're
going to
have money as well, but I know what you mean.
If you got Spencer Dinwiddie, D'Angelo Russell, you know, why is Kyrie necessarily going to go there? You know, so I think if he wants to leave Boston, I'm not saying it's a done deal. I think, you know, see how the team plays. Do they get to the finals? You know, do they push Golden State? No. Maybe all that happens, maybe he stays. But now Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant are in serious play.
Now they're in play because they have the money.
Butler, now Jimmy Butler's had attitude issues in different places, but, you know, he could be a third guy if they don't get one of those two. Maybe they partner. I know he's close with actually both of them. Jimmy Butler's close with Kevin Durant and Kyrie.
If both don't come, they can still
maybe he goes with one. I will say this, Rob. I do not think Kevin Durant will go to New York by himself.
No, no, no.
So now what you're going to have, and look, tampering, yeah, whatever. But he's going to be on the phone.
But you already
with
know.
With Kyrie and Jimmy Butler, they're all going to be talking and –
But
you know,
when they know this trade and his agent, I'm talking about KD's agent, picks up the phone and says, dude, the Knicks have $75 million to spend.
Yep.
Hello.
Yep.
Is this microphone on?
Yep.
Right?
You're right. And here's another thing people are overlooking. Dennis Smith Jr. is not small potatoes. He's not a bad player. I mean, Dennis Smith Jr. was a lottery pick a year ago. A year ago, he averaged 15 points, 5 assists, made all rookie. I mean, you know, he doesn't really fit with Luka, so his numbers are down now. But he actually might be a decent point guard. You know, so I think the Knicks made out. They weren't, to your point, they weren't going anywhere anyway.
They're not going anywhere, no. And they haven't since 1973. Let's just be honest.
Not a championship.
No, you know what I mean? So, people, we know this, Chris. We both worked in New York at newspapers there. Knicks fans still show up because they love basketball. They love the game. But, man, they've been through the ringer for years.
No question.
And they need to get back in the mix. The NBA is always going to be, it's good. It'll be better when the Knicks and Lakers are back in the mix.
We have some other news. The All-Star Reserves were named.
Yes.
So let me hear what you think about this. The Western Conference, Russell Westbrook, Anthony Davis, Nikola Jokic, Damian Lillard, Klay Thompson, LaMarcus Aldridge, and Karl Anthony Towns. Any issues with that?
No issues whatsoever.
Yeah, I agree.
That sounds like that makes sense.
That's legitimate. I'm trying to look. I knew Draymond wouldn't make it this year. I'm running down the list. Are there any real snubs? Rudy Gobert might have an argument, you know, as a snub. Tobias Harris, I know he's had a great year for the Clippers, but I'm not taking off any of those guys for Tobias. I think they got it right. Let's look at the Eastern Conference. If I can find that, the Eastern Conference All-Stars, this will be interesting. Here we go. Wow, Chris Middleton from the Milwaukee Bucks. Okay.
Dude, that was a second-round pick who wound up working his way into a big contract, and he's balled out.
He was
in Detroit. I remember when he first got there.
Ben Simmons made it. Bradley Beal. Wow, that's interesting. Nikola Vucevic from Orlando. He's played well. Kyle Lowry. Blake Griffin. And Victor Oladipo. Obviously, Oladipo's going to miss the game. He's out for the season. That's an interesting list. I'm trying to see, do I see any snubs on that one? Some people could argue for D'Angelo Russell with the Nets. But I'm not mad at this. I mean, no, I don't see anybody else that I'm clamoring for to get on that team.
No.
Jimmy Butler should have made it.
Why didn't he make it then?
That's baffling. He'll make it over Oladipo. He'll replace Oladipo. But Jimmy Butler, that's the snub.
Yeah.
That's the biggest snub of the All-Star.
Both conferences.
Right. No doubt.
That makes sense.
He's
though.
A baller. Right. You can talk about his attitude all you want. He's a baller.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Rob Parker, we started off the show last hour by talking about this blockbuster trade, if we can call it that, between the New York Knicks and the Dallas Mavericks, which essentially sent Kristaps Porzingis, the 7'3" phenom when he's healthy.
Yes.
From New York to Dallas.
He's a good player, man.
He is a very good player.
Much better than people thought.
Right.
Because they hadn't seen him. Remember when he got drafted?
Yep.
A lot of people were.
The boy was crying.
Oh, yeah. I was like, oh, my God, the Knicks blew it again.
Yep.
And they don't know what they're doing. And why did they draft him? He wound up being a pretty damn good player.
Really good player. And the Knicks get Dennis Smith Jr. as the main piece. DeAndre Jordan's also in the trade going to the New York Knicks. But – Rob, we talked about it from a standpoint of both teams. I think it's a good trade for both teams.
I agree with that.
Right, you get the foundation with Luka Doncic, Kristaps Porzingis, who know each other. I think there's a good chance Porzingis will stay there long term. Dirk Nowitzki is obviously going to talk to him. I'm sure he's a hero if Porzingis is. Come on. So they have the foundation for a future contender. The Knicks, on the other hand, have cap room. And for two max players, and I think there's a pretty decent chance they get Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. Now, an angle that people have not looked at, though,
at least there's a possibility of it now because of this trade.
Right, and I think there's a good possibility. What people have not looked at, though, is how this trade could actually benefit the Los Angeles Lakers. Hear me out.
I know you're going to try to
pour hot water on what I'm saying. But hear me out. Okay, let's say Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant both go to the Knicks this summer. So Kyrie obviously is no longer in Boston. That will mean Anthony Davis does not want to go to Boston and stay there long term. Okay, so.
Are you sure?
If you take the Knicks were a team that also was in the Anthony Davis sweepstakes.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say, you know, they get Durant and Kyrie. They obviously don't have room for Davis in terms of, you know, financially. They can't get it done. You can talk about, well, would they give up the first pick? Even if they would give up the first pick, you have to have the salaries that can get you Anthony Davis. First round pick isn't going to – draft pick is not going to be worth enough. So you have to have some other salaries to throw in there to get Davis. So let's take them out of the race. Obviously, that leaves the Lakers. There's reports that Rich Paul, his agent, is already telling teams that he will only sign long term with the LA Lakers. So now if Boston doesn't have Kyrie and they're essentially out of it, and Danny Ainge would be nuts at that point to trade for Anthony Davis. He may try, and then the Knicks are out of it. That helps the Lakers.
Yeah.
And the Lakers could get him in a trade, not just waiting until 2020 as a free agent.
Yeah, just like OKC was crazy to trade for a guy who wound up sticking around. Other teams, just like we just saw Kawhi Leonard going to Toronto, don't tell me that.
What about when Kawhi leaves and goes to the
Clippers?
No, but
that's fine. But that doesn't mean that another team wouldn't still jump in and say, maybe we can get.
But it might make teams skeptical.
But I'm just saying, If you got a franchise that ain't going nowhere and say, we could maybe make a run or there's an opening for us and I'll give up. We're not winning anyway. We could bring a star guy and try to woo him. Maybe he likes it here. We don't know. You can't tell me that teams wouldn't take a chance.
There'll be a couple that might.
Danny Ange might. He has said
he will, at least according to reports.
Right.
And I think if Kyrie is there, he definitely will.
No doubt about it.
But if Kyrie's gone, I just think it – are you giving up Jason Tatum, Terry – let's say Kyrie's gone. You giving up – I'm asking you. You run the Boston Celtics. Would you give up Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and Terry Rozier and say – 2 draft picks.
They got a ton of picks
for Anthony Davis.
Yeah, I wouldn't make that trade.
So if Davis leaves, you are depleted.
I get it. But if you think you that still, you still have –
without Kyrie and without Davis, remember this, Rob.
No, I get
you
it.
You still have the team that went to the Eastern Conference Finals without those two.
I get it, but I'm not buying into that they could make that same run. Those players have not
Kawhi
played.
Kawhi might be out of the East.
I know, but I'm just saying those players haven't been the same players. Would you admit this year?
Well, that's because Kyrie's taking more
shots.
I understand that, but it's changed. Yeah.
Right, it's changed.
Look, I get what you're saying.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, you're right. There's a team or two or three
that's going to take a chance.
That might. If I'm Boston, though, and I'm for it. Like, if Kyrie resigns.
Well, if Kyrie, that's a no-brainer.
And Anthony Davis is still saying, I want to go to the Lakers. I would take the chance.
I would.
If I got Kyrie. If Kyrie's not there anymore, I'm not giving up all that. Because even without Davis and Kyrie, I've still got a high-level playoff team in the East, and I keep my draft picks. Maybe one of those picks turns into another star.
Yeah, but they have so many picks, don't they? I mean, I know they got rid of a couple.
Some of them are lower.
Right, but I'm just saying, I hear you, and I get it.
You just don't want to give it to the Lakers. Any way, shape, or form that the Lakers could trade for Anthony Davis.
Exactly. I just think it's bad. I think if I was a Pelicans fan, I would be very disappointed in my organization. I don't care what we get back in return. It's not like they got – they're going to get a lottery pick or anything like that. You know what I mean? Where you have something, where you have a shot. If you're telling me I got a guaranteed lottery pick or they trade them to a bad team and we have a chance to go get a star player, I'm warmed up to that. I got it. He's leaving. We need to do something. But, Chris, I cannot sign or endorse that the Lakers basically poached our top player, and you just went along with it and handed him over. For a bad Laker team that without LeBron is not that good, last year they won 35 games. The core that you're telling me about hasn't impressed me enough that I think,
But would you rather – like if Boston and New York are now off the table?
Well, I mean, obviously you'd have to take a look at what's available, but I'm just saying.
You know what I'm saying? Like Kuzma, I'm with you. They're not some great core.
It ain't
but
like –
but Kuzma's a good player. Would you admit that?
Yeah, I like Kuzma, but I'm just
Ingram's,
saying.
Ingram's, not bad.
He didn't blossom the way everybody thought he was going to with LeBron. He's a decent player.
Lonzo, has potential. We'll see.
We've seen a lot of bad nights.
Right. But I'm saying that's better than losing him for nothing. And it's also better than going through. You could even say, well, they play hardball with him, keep him on the team.
No, they're not going to lose him for nothing.
And if it turns into a freaking
disaster
of a season. Remember when Melo was in Denver last year? Ruined the season. When Dwight was in Orlando last year? Ruined the season.
I get that. No, I'm not for them holding on to him for another full year, but they shouldn't trade him at the trade deadline. They should wait it out to see how all those pieces fall.
I agree. Yeah, right? Definitely don't trade him at the deadline.
Not here.
But what about trading him to the Lakers in the summer?
I would not trade him to the Lakers under any circumstances if I was the GM.
What if the Lakers – what about this circumstance?
Under any.
If the Lakers work out – because if they're calling you and you're like, Boston's out of it, New York's out of it, it's summer, it's August, and you say, look, we need more. Go out and get a third or maybe fourth team involved in the deal, and if you can get us a bona fide star, then we'll do it. You get a bona fide star
I'd have to take a look at that, but I'm just saying on the principle of it and what the Lakers have done and are involved in. And remember, it would be different It would be different if LeBron wasn't there and Rich Paul wasn't his agent. They just feel like they just came and stole our guy from trying to steal our guy.
I certainly think
that. Would you agree with that?
I would agree before the deadline. If they do it before the deadline, you're right. They just got punked.
Right.
They just bullied you. They grabbed you by the collar
and said,
give me
your guy.
Right. Give me him. Now, in the summer, after I've considered Boston, after I've considered New York, you know what I mean? To me, that's a different story.
If they were painted into a corner and had no other options, then maybe. But I'm just saying, I would look high and low for something else if I could.
Well, here's another thing. There was a report that they might not play Anthony Davis. They're not going to suspend him, but sit him out for like the rest of the year or something. There's talk. I don't want to say it's a report, but there's some scuttlebutt about that. You know what? I got to be honest. If I'm New Orleans, I'm kind of cool with that. Like you've always said, if you don't want to be here, you don't.
Right.
We're not trading you before the deadline, but just go away.
Right.
Like the Rockets, it's different circumstances.
Right.
But like the Rockets did with Melo.
Right.
Like, look, go away.
Right.
Get away from us. You know, when it's time for you to trade,
exactly.
Yeah, when we got to trade, we'll let you know.
You don't want to play here, fine, but you won't play here.
Get out. Go to Chicago and chill for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
If that's how you feel about us.
Because what you just did to our organization, you dropped the bomb on us. We just had last year, man. We went to the playoffs. We won the first round.
Looked like
we
a beat team again. In the future. We beat a good Portland team.
And you beat Golden State right in one of those games. They won a game.
Did they win a game? I'm not sure if they
won
a game.
Rob G, didn't they win a game? I thought the New Orleans won one game against Golden State.
They won one?
Right?
Yeah.
That's what they won one. Right. So, Chris, we had a nice little thing going.
Anthony Davis
had a great year without Boogie Cousins. You know what I'm saying? So for you to sour on us this quickly where last year we made
all the injuries,
you
haven't even really given us a chance.
Right.
Nah, you're right. And here's the other thing. It actually would help New Orleans in the draft lottery. Because presumably you'll be worse without Anthony Davis.
Right.
And you'll lose more games.
Oh, no, that's a great point.
And it enhances your chances. Yahoo is reporting after missing nearly 5 weeks with a groin injury, Lakers star LeBron James plans to make his return tonight against the Clippers. So he is playing tonight. That's more like it. We were told earlier that he wasn't playing tonight.
They
that's
ran
more
a story.
Like it. That's okay. More like it.
He should I thought play he tonight. Wasn't playing.
Yeah, he is playing tonight. I thought he was going to play in the last game tonight. You know, hey, he's back. He needs to come back. I mean, if he's healthy. And it's been 5 weeks. It was a 3 to 6 week injury. He's back. So, but, yeah, it's really an interesting time in the NBA. Always is before the trade deadline. The name to watch now, Rob, is Jimmy Butler, the big name. Watch and see, because if Philadelphia decides it does not want to sign him to a long-term deal, then they need to just trade him and get something for him rather than lose him for nothing. So keep an eye on Jimmy Butler.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker, weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
One of the best tight ends in the league, maybe the best all-pro tight end, Travis Kelce from the Kansas City Chiefs. Welcome to the Odd Couple, man.
It's a pleasure to be here, guys.
Man, I'm going to start out. I'm mad at y'all. You know that, right?
I'm mad at myself.
Because y'all should be here, not the New England Patriots.
I went on
national television, and I pleaded for you guys to win, and y'all let me down.
No, he actually said he was going to move to Mexico.
Right, if y'all didn't win.
You're going to Mexico?
Yes.
I'm trying to get him to live up to his promise, but he won't.
How tough was that, considering the season you had, you know, and had everything kind of, you know, laid out for you guys?
Yeah, no, that one stung, and it was it's still a sour taste in my mouth how it ended.
Sure.
I mean, we were right there, as everyone's been saying, just a coin flip away, which sucks, man.
And if you got the coin flip, y'all probably would have won.
Oh, yeah. No, that's exactly how we feel like it would have come. But you could say woulda, coulda, shoulda all you want to. You just got to man up, figure out what the heck really went wrong in that first half, whether it was experience of the playoffs, whether it was just not being ready for the moment to a fundamental thing or a technique thing, and just man up and get better next year. That's all we've been doing since I've been in Kansas City is every year we've kind of gotten a little bit further along in the process. And sure enough, I got confidence that it'll lead us to a Super Bowl next year.
Now, you only had 23 yards received and 3 catches. What did they do? Like, when you got out there, I'm sure you had been watching film all week of them. Did you see a whole different scheme than you guys expected? Like, what they do to take you out of the game?
No,
like
I think what they do well is not only the man coverage, but I think they're what they do up front. That is, they put five guys on the line of scrimmage to where the offensive line has to account for those five guys. And outside of that, they man up and they play in your face press coverage. And from their experience of the playoffs, they play the game of, oh, we're going to put it in the refs' hands. We're going to make these refs call this holding, call this pass interference. And sure enough, early on, they weren't calling any of it.
Right.
And whether or not that's not an excuse. You got to be able to beat man-to-man coverage and understand that, yo, they're going to hold the hell out of you until it gets called. We just got to be ready for that. And sure enough, I don't think we were quite ready for how much the games that they run up front that I said they do so well, where they got guys twisting and turning.
Yeah.
The offensive line has to be on high alert of what's really going on out there. And sure enough, we couldn't get off man coverage, and there was a lot of pressure on the QB. So just all in all, everybody was playing pretty bad in the first half.
I was going to say, Patrick Mahomes obviously had an unbelievable season his second year in the NFL, but there was one play in that first half that I think people don't remember or go back to, was when you guys were in field goal range and he wound up taking that sack that took you out of field goal range. Could have changed the game. It could have been 7-3, and then you didn't get any points out of that, and the Patriots score at the end of the first half. You're down 14-0.
Man.
Was that a sequence right there?
That's one of the things that you look back on that, you know, we dropped the ball right there. You know, there's the opportunities, man. The game is down to a game of inches at this point. I mean, it was more prevalent in the Chicago-Philly game the week before, where we saw that if the ball would have been 2 inches to the right, now that's a game
right.
over.
Right.
Bears win, right? And even in this one, I mean, I hate to put it on him, but Coach Reed was a stand-up man after the season. D Ford, man, he's 4 inches off sides, you know. But he said it best, is that, you know, we all could have been 4 inches better in the right direction. It wasn't just D Ford and that play that could have sealed us the game. It was an entire team effort, and a whole just on the offensive side of the ball just wasn't a very good performance in that first half.
Obviously, Alex Smith was a good quarterback for you guys, but when Mahomes got there a few years ago, did you guys see right away, oh, this guy is special? Like, could you?
Yeah.
How soon did you know? He's special. We got to get him started.
The thing is, when he walked in the room, I mean, he grew up around the ballpark, mm-hmm. So he grew up around the locker room and a group around ball players. He gets it, man. He understands exactly what the atmosphere is like, how to have fun around different personalities, how to be a brother to everyone on the team. He's very relatable. So, I mean, just having that confidence in who he was and it kind of just oozing out of him, you could tell he was special. You didn't necessarily know if he was going to, you know, be a little gun shy when he got in there.
Right.
But at that point in time, when he walked in the locker room after he got picked, I mean, you could tell the kid was special.
Chris and I talk all the time as he goes forward, and what a record-breaking year he had. There will be adjustments, and right by other teams and defenses,
yeah,
as we go into the second half. So does he have to make adjustments and realize that what he got last year probably isn't going to be what he gets or as much?
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, there's going to have to be some type of change in the defensive schemes and how they're going against the run game, because I really do think everything is based off of the run game. I mean, Patrick is so creative in how he throws the ball and how he plays the game that the run game is now a part of the pass game. In terms of every single run that we have, there's an option to pass. So
wow.
If he sees something on the defense that he likes the pass better, he's going to pull the ball and throw the pass. And it's not that uncommon, but at the same time, with his creative underhand, sidearm,
no,
all of that, no look,
he could
be looking over here to the right while there's a pass concept to the left, reading the linebacker that's sitting in the middle of the field.
Wow.
And he's just no looking everything, just making sure he's tricking everybody with their eyes. So there's going to have to be some type of adjustment, but he's such a competitor. And on top of that, you got Andy Reid at the helm. I mean, you got a guy that's very creative, has changed the game in terms of play calling and play and how plays are ran. And sure enough, I think with that combination, that's a deadly combination.
Now, I know you guys are a team, But, you know, your offense was phenomenal, and the defense gave up a lot of points.
No, they were stinky. I'm sorry.
We saw what happened with the defense coordinator.
They saved us in that first half, though. I'll tell you that much.
The first half they played well. But how do you guys – I mean, obviously you don't want to jump on your other teammates all the time, but you know what I mean? How do you deal with that dynamic when you might be put – you? I think in your losses you guys averaged like 36 or 38 points.
Like you put the points up.
And you still lost. So how do you deal with that when one side of the ball is not getting it done like the other is?
You just got to have the mind frame that, you know what, we're a complete team. With the amount of points that we're putting up, it changes the scheme of a defense. That is, you play a little bit different when you have a big lead, right? So you kind of play a little bit more conservative. Right. But I think the name of the game is put the points up. So that's what we're doing as an offense. We're worrying about our side and our side only. Mm-hmm. That's all we can worry about. So, I mean, what the defense was doing over there, we just had to have and build confidence that our team, the makeup of our team was going to keep fighting all the way to the end and into the fourth quarter, no matter how the game went along. And sure enough, in a few games, defense stepped up huge. I mean, the Baltimore Ravens game, if they don't play that well late in the game, we don't win that game. So it was just is a weird makeup, but at the end of the day, I think we just believed in each other.
I want to ask you quickly, and then I want to get into the product you're working with, but how tough was it for you guys kept moving, kept on trucking without Kareem, you know, but how tough was that in the locker room and, you know, with what happened with him?
Yeah, I mean, Kareem was a in that locker room. He was a locker room favorite. We didn't know him to be that guy. That is, he doesn't come off as a guy that's very hostile or anything like that. Very soft-spoken. East side of Cleveland kid. I know very well.
Did you know him before?
Like, I knew of him.
He
was younger than me. I don't think he was in high school when I was going through high school. Okay. But I knew of him without a doubt just through the ranks. And, you know, it was definitely something. It was hard to feel that brotherhood. That is, Damian was new to the team. He had just got along this year, and he hadn't really been in the role of getting the ball a lot. So with him going doing with Kareem, what happened with Kareem going on, we kind of like lost a brother. But Damian stepped up. People love him even more so now than they did before. Yeah. And I'm happy for the guy. He got another contract in KC, and I think he's going to show up and be one of the best running backs we got.
All right. Well, you've partnered with Emergent BioSolutions, so tell us a bit about that.
So Emergent BioSolutions is the makers of nasal naloxone, which is something that's saving lives out here. And I just want to use my platform to help get more awareness and education on opioid overdose. It's something that's hit home in Ohio, where I'm from. Ohio has unfortunately been the leader in terms of deaths on this opioid overdose. It kills me to hear that. And knowing that all over the United States is the problem. People are just unaware of the medicines that they're taking, the education behind it. You can go to beaware.com and get a better understanding of not only this nasal naloxone product, but just opioids in general, and understanding what you're taking.
All right. Well, Travis, that. Man, yeah.
And one last thing on a lighter note. I went into McDonald's and did a dance, and they put me in handcuffs.
Get out of here.
Come on.
They did it. You lying. They gave you a double one, baby.
Extra Happy Meal.
That's right.
Is that you dancing in the commercial?
Oh, yeah. No,
I was
me.
I've
that's
always really wondered no. watching it. Like,
oh,
okay,
he's like a stunt guy, like a stunt dancer?
or not. All
what
right.
you trying to
all
say?
Right.
You don't have
no,
rhythm?
I'm just wondering.
He trying to say you don't have rhythm?
I know you're from Cleveland Heights. What I was doing in that video was not rhythm. It was just going spazzing out. It was spazzing. I was just happy to be in the McDonald's commercial.
That's a
man.
Fun spot. All right, Travis.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.